questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of iRabi English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Hujjatul Islam Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Hujjatul Karimi, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Shaykh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Dua al-Ahd. We can say it is a supplication narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And the concept of re-allegiance, or it's better to say, playing an oath of allegiance with Imam al-Mahdi and praying for his return is mentioned in that dua. Let's talk a little bit about the significance of this dua. Why is it called Dua al-Ahd? And what kind of ahd or promise, or it's better to say, covenant and treaty does it refer to?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, this is a famous dua narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. We have a couple of famous duas related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and may Allah hasten his reappearance. And Dua al-Ahd is one of them. And one of the significance of this dua is the fact that we are updating our covenant with the Imam, our allegiance with the Imam on a daily basis, of course, if we recite this dua every day. And there are some narrations encouraging the Shias, the Muslims, to recite this dua during the time of the major occultation. The reason that this dua is called Dua al-Ahd is a phrase mentioned in this dua where we read, Allahumma inni ujaddidu lahu fi sabihati yawmi hadha wa ma ishtu min ayami ahdan wa aqdan وَعَقْدًا وَبَيْعَةً لَهُ فِي عُنُقِي. O Allah, I update to him in the beginning of this day and throughout the days of lifetime, عَهْدًا وَأَقْدًا وَبَيْعَةً, a pledge, a covenant, an allegiance to which I commit myself and from which I neither convert nor change. So we have the three concepts of عَهْد, عَقْد, and بَيْعَة, allegiance, covenant, and pledge. And the term Ahd has been mentioned in this part of the dua, and that is the reason the dua is called Dua al-Ahd.
That's right.
As for the importance of this dua, let me share a few points. It's been quoted that if a person recites this dua for 40 consecutive days in the morning, he or she would be among the supporters and soldiers and helpers of Imam Mahdi, even if he's not or she is not alive at that time. We know that we believe in the concept of raj'a or return.
Yes.
Based on this concept, we know that after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, according to the concept and the doctrine of raj'a, which is rooted in the verses of the Noble Book of Quran, some people would be revived based on the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some among the most wicked people and some among the most righteous people.
So those who have the true love of Imam al-Asr in their heart can again pledge re-allegiance to Imam al-Asr, you mean?
They would be revived.
Okay.
I mean, some of the people who have passed away before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they will be revived. Okay. Some among the most wicked people, so that they taste the punishment of this world as well. Some of the greatest enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. And some among the most righteous human beings to see the world government based on justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. The Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam would be revived, especially the number of the narrations about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and after him about Imam Ali alayhi salam are mutawatir. So according to the narrations, if a believer recites this dua for 40 consecutive days, at least they may hope that they would be revived after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, based on the concept of raj'a, and to help the Imam in his great movement and revolution. This dua has been quoted by great Shia scholars like Sayyidina Tawus in Misbah al-Zair, Ibn al-Mashhadi in al-Mazar al-Kabir, Kaf'ami in al-Misbah, also in al-Balad al-Amin, And this shows that they believed in the authenticity of this dua. Now,
that's right.
Going back to the main topic and the main subject of the question, as I mentioned, this dua is called Dua al-Ahd because in part of the dua, we are talking about updating a kind of covenant and pledge and allegiance with the Imam early in the morning. أُجَدِّدُ لَهُ فِي سَبِيحَةِ يَوْمِ هَذَا.
And it must be read out in the morning?
Exactly.
Only in the morning.
When it comes to recommended actions, this is the time that the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt have told us.
Uh-huh.
And in the phrases of dua, we also say that fi sabihati yawmi hadha. Of course, it doesn't mean that you are not allowed to recite this dua.
But the best timing is...
The best time and the time that is, decided by the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wa
sallam. After Salat al-Subh or...
It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any difference. No. Okay, that's right.
Because we have in Allahumma inni ujadid lahu fi sabihati yawmi hadha. Of course, if you want to be acting based upon the precautions in jurisprudence, usually they say that subh or morning begins from the time after the adhan, the call to prayer of morning prayer. So the point about this dua and the importance of this dua is that on a daily basis, if we recite this dua, we are remembering the fact that we have a living Imam and we are updating our covenant and pledges to the Imam of our time.
Yes.
And this is the great importance and significance of this dua.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And what does it mean exactly, Sheikh, when we say ahd and allegiance or updating our allegiance with the Imam? What does it mean exactly? Is it only in words saying that or no, we have to do, for example, some special deeds and practices?
Of course not. It's not only the matter of words and speech. So we may refer to the narration which reads that مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. In each and every time we have Imam al-Zaman, Imam al-Asr, the Imam of the time. And in our time, the Imam of the time is no one but Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So according to that famous narration quoted by both Shia and Sunni scholars, if you die without knowing the Imam of your time, it is as if you have died the death of ignorance, meaning
yes.
the people who lived before the time of the Prophet. So what does the knowledge and ma'rifah of the Imam mean? It's not only about knowing the name and the name of his father and
yes.
mother and the date of his birth and so on and so forth. No, it's about the status and position of the Imam. And more important than that, our duties toward the Imam. So we may say that the first step should be this ma'rifah, this knowledge that we need to have regarding the Imam. And of course, there are many levels in this regard.
Yes.
And the deeper we study and we go to the scholars, then we may have a deeper knowledge and ma'rifah regarding the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalam. So this is the first step, to know the Imam, to know, how great is the Imam, to know how knowledgeable is the Imam, how virtuous is the Imam. Because unfortunately, in our time, we see among even some Shias who are not that familiar with the status and greatness of the Imam. And sometimes this is, encouraged by some of the false claimants.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some of the false claimants, because of the fact that they themselves do not have enough knowledge, even religious knowledge, they claim that the knowledge of the Imam is also limited.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they may deviate some of the Shia, who of course are few in number, but yes. This is very unfortunate to see that such people are deviated by these false claimants.
That's right.
So this is that the ma'rifah that I'm talking about. We need to refer to the Quran, to the narrations of the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam, to know about the great and the vast knowledge of the Imam. So no one can claim that I am an Imam or a representative of the Imam. And the Imam doesn't need to have, this vast knowledge. No, if you have a true ma'rifah, true knowledge of the narrations, then you will see all those narrations talking about the vast knowledge of the Imam, the fact that the Imam knows whatever is hidden in the earth and the heaven, ilmu ma kan wa ma yakun. He knows everything about the past, about the present time and future, and so on and so forth.
And is the number of reciting this dua important? Because it is narrated that, for example, for 40 successive days or mornings, if somebody read out, it has a kind of significance, without a stop. Morning after morning for 40 days.
The number 40 is important, especially when it comes to Islamic spirituality and mysticism. And it's not only about this dua. We have many narrations in Shia and Sunni sources about the significance of repeating something for 40 times or for 40 days, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
In the Quran, we have the notion of 40 days when it comes to Moses alayhi salam going to Mount Sinai and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 30 days, and then it was extended for another 10 days, and altogether it was 40 days, the time of the supplication between Musa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have some narrations that, for example, if you purify your actions, you make your actions sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days, then the fountains of wisdom would flow from your mouth. And so on and so forth. There are many narrations in this regard, to the extent that, special books are written under the title of Al-Arba'in or Arba'iniyat, meaning that the narrations referring to the number of 40, and some books of hadith which contain only 40 narration. In our time, we have the famous book Al-Arba'in, written by Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi. But in the history of Islam, many great Shia and Sunni scholars, they have written books which contain only 40 narrations.
Yes.
So
the number 40
the
is
number 40
important.
Is
That's right.
important. Okay. And of course, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't follow this dua. But if we want to gain that reward which is mentioned in this narration, we need to recite this dua at least for 40 consecutive days.
That's right.
And some of the scholars believe that, especially the mystics, that if you do one action for 40 consecutive days, it may at least
have an effect.
Become a kind of what they called it a malaka, a habit for you.
Yes.
So that you are not ready to leave that action anymore. So if you do that for 40 days, it doesn't mean that you will leave it after that. If you, for example, try to refrain from, let's say, backbiting for 40 days, then you are not going to start it all over again after the 40 days. So this is the importance of this number as mentioned in this narration.
That's all right. Thank you very much.
So to just complete what I mentioned about different levels, the first level was ma'rifah, the knowledge of the Imam. And of course, the next level, which is also important, is the actions. And to begin with, we need to pay attention to the obligations that we have and to abandon the forbidden actions. And, of course, to lead a life based on ethics and moral issues. We need to, do it on a daily basis to remember that we have a living Imam. And we are updating a pledge, a covenant with the Imam. And during the day, we remember that covenant. I think if we really do that, if we pay attention to the meaning of the words in Dua al-Ahd, at least in the long term, it would leave a great effect in our life. That doesn't make any difference, culturally speaking, socially speaking, when it comes to our behavior with our parents, children, neighbors, colleagues, and so on and so forth.
That's all right.
What matters is that we update our pledges with the Imam on a daily basis, and pay attention to the meaning of the words of this ziyarah or dua.
That's all right. In one important extract of this dua, we read, "So, O Allah, please show us your vicegerent, the son of your prophet, and the namesake of your messenger, peace be upon him and his household, so that he shall tear up any wrong item that he will face and shall confirm and approve of the truth. So Allah, make him the shelter to whom your wronged servants shall resort, the supporter of those who cannot find any supporter save you, the reviver of the laws of your book that have been suspended, and the constructor of all signs of your religion and instructions of your messenger." Inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن